Acts, and we find ourselves in Acts chapter 20 this week, wrapping it up as we look at Paul's life and what he's been doing and what he's been challenging the body of believers everywhere he goes. As you know, he's in his third missionary journey. He has just and is in the middle of where we're at today, towards the end of about verse 25 of chapter 20. Paul is working through a farewell with the elders in the church of Ephesus. And so that's where we find ourselves right now. And as we look at that, follow along as I read these verses, and then we're going to dive into them and dig in a little bit more into what they are in his farewell. Beginning, let's actually back up to verse 22 and get a run through it. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem," Paul tells him, "not knowing what will happen to me there. I know only that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me the prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which we brought, or he bought rather, with his own blood. And I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in amongst you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard. Remember that those 3 years I spent I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved him most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship." As we see this narrative written out before us, we see Paul is in a personal, intimate, connective relationship with the church of Ephesus. He's drawn the elders and the leaders of the body together, and he says to them, "Guys, there's a really important thing I need to tell you. And I want you to grab a hold of this statement that I'm going to tell you, because there's something there to it." Jeremy, can you put that slide up for me for just a second there? And the key element that we have to understand in this is that in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it is not just enough to know a head knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, as we looked at for a couple of weeks, but it's also that we need to have that intimate relationship with him. And I love this quote. It's a Toby Mac thing. It's up on the RMC Facebook page. "Knowing the Bible is one thing." Knowing the Bible is great. We need to. In fact, the scripture says, how do you keep a young man's heart pure and his mind straight? Is he knows the word. How do you keep from sinning against God? You hide his word in your heart. So knowing it is great. But look at the next sentence, because the next sentence says this: "Knowing the author is another." You see, I don't know how many of you know authors of books. Anybody know any authors who've written books? Anybody? Okay. Anna, who do you know who's written a book? Okay. Don't know them. Cool. I only know one. Well, I know a couple, but I really only know one personally. His name is Randy Alcorn. Anybody in here know Randy Alcorn or heard of him? You have, because you hung out at Oasis. Yeah. Okay. Randy Alcorn's a friend of Julie's and mine. Got a few of his books over here in the book that if anybody ever wants to check them out and read them, read it, bring it back, pass it on, bring it back so we can keep passing them on. But I know him. But, you know, to know that he's written those books, some of them are powerful books, some of them are fictitious books, some of them are books, uh, the truth, the paradox, truth paradox, principles, and all these different ones that he's got are great books. He's got some great fiction. If you love suspense, his Deadline series is an amazing one. But you would just read him and go, okay, Randy Alcorn, don't know anything about him. Randy lives in a little town called Boring, Oregon. And it is boring. There's not much in there, okay? But I know Randy. And Randy is an avid tennis player. He's an avid enthusiast of different things, but he loves Jesus. And you know what he really knows? Is he knows this word, but he also knows the author. And so, although I know of Randy's books, I know him. And I know the heartbeat that drives him when he writes his book. And that guy is an amazing writer, but he's an amazing man of God. And how do you get that? You get that by being intimate with your Creator, by knowing Him, and by getting to understand Him and understanding His Word. And that's where Paul is at with him. He goes, guys, there's going to be a change. I'm leaving you. I'm not going to be here anymore. And I can no longer mentor you and disciple you and create in you an atmosphere of learning and of teaching because I'm not going to be here anymore. So guys, one big responsibility, it's on you. And you see, that's one of the things even here at the RMC. Although my role may be in this role of teaching from the pulpit, if you will, my role is far greater than that. My role is to do exactly what I was talking to Gabe tonight. I'm going to break down and cry, buddy. What did I tell you tonight? You remember back in the sound booth? I'm putting you on the spot, okay? He said to me tonight, he says, "Could you think I could learn how to run the sound booth?" Do you know what that does to a guy like me? It's like, yeah, you can do that. And then I got to hear his dad back there going, we'll take babies. I'll show you how to do this. It's like Lala learning and Lauren how to do the coffee bar. I love it. Why? Because as I told him, we're equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible tells us to do. That's what we're as believers to do. And that's really what Paul the Apostle is saying here. Come and enjoy fellowship and enjoy some amazing goodies and some fun things and some fun coffee drinks and Italian sodas and then leave. No, invest in what God is doing. That's what he's telling them to do. And how do you do that? How do you invest? I think one of the best ways you can invest is by your life. Is your life an example of what Jesus Christ wants it to be? So let's look at what he tells them here in verse 23. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone around preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He identifies that. But he says, therefore, because of this statement, you're not going to see me. I declare, I proclaim, I announce to you a great declaration today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. He is saying to you, I have preached the gospel message to you. You're responsible to do something with it. You ever been told to take the trash out? Anybody, this applies to anybody, even to you, Lily. You know, you ever been told to take the trash out? Did it go out on its own? You had to do what? You had to take it out. And dad probably told you 2, 3, 4, 5 times to take it out. No, just teasing, right? Maybe he did. Sometimes that happens to me. Could you take the trash? No, I didn't take the trash. Would you take the trash? It's not going to take itself out. And neither is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's saying, guys, you got to enter into the relationship. I've given you the information. Now do something with it. For those of you who are computer people, you know, one of the shortcuts, I think, with computers that I learned early on, and I am not a computer techie person, Control, Alt, Delete. That's a wonderful 3-keystroke thing. That's on the old PCs, which I've switched to Apples, and I don't know that there's one of those on Apples. If there is, somebody tell me what it is, because sometimes the thing, I don't know what it is. But Control, Alt, Delete, it kind of reboots and resets and kicks everything off again. And he's saying here, guys, I am not responsible for rebooting you again. I've told you about Jesus Christ. Now choose to do something with him. And when you choose to do something with him, then I want you to invest in him. I want you to get connected with him. And then he says that in the next verse, 27, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God and keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. You know, there's something to be said about accountability. One of the things, and I've said it before, and I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. I hope it encourages you. Saturday mornings when the guys get together is a time of encouragement. It's a time of guys sitting around going, yeah, this week really was horrible. in whatever way it was. And to know that the guys across the table, one, are going to be holding you up in prayer, and number two, are going to be relating to it and going, yeah, been there, done that, I have the t-shirt. You know, they understand that it's a difficult week. But that accountability to know, guys, I need your help this week. I need you to pray for me. I need you to hold me up. And you know that they're doing it because they're accountable to you. They're accountable to God for their own actions as well. And you see, he's saying, be accountable first to yourself. You see, if we are accountable for my own actions, which is I'm the only one who can be accountable for them, right? I'm going to be in check with God, then I'm in a better spot and a better position to lead, aren't I? Because if I'm not in check with God, if my vertical relationship with Jesus Christ is all messed up because I'm in the way and I'm doing my own thing and I'm about me and what I want and I don't worry about what God wants and I'm just going to go ahead and do it, how well will it turn out? Generally not very well if I do it my way. But if my vertical relationship is good and clean and straight with God, my horizontal relationships are going to be good. And you've heard me say that more than once. Julie knows when things are not good this way, because things aren't good this way. And when things aren't good this way, nobody's happy. And he's saying, guys, keep yourselves checked first. Why? So then in turn, you can keep your eyes on the flock. You can know what's going on with the body of believers. And you see, when you find yourselves ever in a position of spiritual leadership over somebody, whether that is as an elder or a deacon, whether that is a director of a women's ministry, if that finds yourself as a senior pastor somewhere, if that finds you anywhere in that, but stop. I'm going to step on toes and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Men, that's us. We need to be the spiritual heads in our home. You don't believe me? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight before you go to bed. And look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, rather, not 6. 6 is for you kids to read verse 1. But for men, we need to be men who are committed to Jesus Christ, leading in our homes. And then as we lead in our homes, that's going to pour over into our work environment. That's going to pour over into our life in situations. And what's going to happen is God is going to be taking us through those processes. Hard, difficult, and tough ones. And the easy ones as well. Does that make sense? But we're responsible for ourselves. It was years ago when all of a sudden it dawned on me, when Julie had said to me that as she held our son Tyler, who at that time was just an infant, he was tiny then, today he's huge, he's 6'6", 240 pounds, he's a big boy. He was just a little guy and she was holding him in his arms and she said, Lord, my heart needs to be, I'm paraphrasing it, but I need to have your heart in me so that when Tyler sees me, he sees you. I'm saying it in my way. She said it much more elegant and better than I do. But basically, he's going to model his life after her life. But you know who Julie needed to look to have her model set? It was supposed to be me. But sadly enough, I was shirking that responsibility. And I needed to have my life turned totally upside down, and God radically did some major changes to where I began to take the role and responsibility, because you see, Julie was accountable for herself. And yes, she was accountable for the kids, but you know who was even more accountable for her and for the kids? And as I learned that and began to understand that, and I still blow it, I began to understand more of what he's saying here. Guys, check yourselves. Are you in tune with what God is saying, what God is doing, and how God is leading? Because if I am, guess what? My bride's going to follow me. And that corporate worship is the same way. If God is working through me and I'm right with God, God is going to lead and guide in the ministry, not me. It isn't going to be about me. I never want it to be about me. I want it to be, as Carl said in his testimony, all about God. What God is doing in me. And you see, that's what Paul is saying here. Guys, be responsible. Check yourselves, follow God, and lead the sheep. Why? Because he goes on to describe here in the next portion of it, look what happens. He says, if which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds, guardians, caregivers of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. It's his purchase that he made. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in amongst you and will go after the flock. You see, when we divert from the Word of God, when we divert from teaching the Word of God, when we divert from living the Word of God in our lives, you know what? We get picked off by the enemy. We're sitting ducks. We're like that BB gun thing at a county or a state fair. We're just sitting there just ready easily to be picked right off. And that happens in the churches way too often. That happens in our homes way too often. That happens in our lives way too often. Savage wolves are looking out to go there. Scripture defines it as the Satan is like that roaring tiger, that lion, ready to pounce, ready to dive in, ready to tear apart. Why? Because if he can alienate us from God, he's doing what he wants to do, which is take our focus off of God. And what God wants to do is bring our focus onto him. God is the author and the finisher. God is the one who is grace-giving and love-giving and mercy-giving. Satan, he's just a confuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the author of lies. Total opposites, aren't they? And he says, guys, don't let the savage wolves come in. Don't let them teach false teaching. Don't let them lead you astray. Guard yourself. Guard with all your heart, and with all your mind, with all your soul. Ephesians also tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God towards the end of chapter 6. Very clearly, he tells us there. He says, don't just put on one piece of your spiritual battle rattle. Don't just put on the helmet and call it good. Put on the helmet and the breastplate and the loin and gird yourself and put on the feet ready for the gospel and put on the sword and be ready to engage in battle. Paul's telling the elders, be ready. It's going to get nasty. And if you've read the letter to the church in Ephesus, you know that it did get nasty. That's why he writes them the letter. He goes, guys, come on, get it together. Let's get back to what's the basics. Let's not make it all these other things and all these rules and regulations, but let's make it about the basic things, which is God's word, God's people, and God. The rest of the stuff is all extras. The rest of the stuff is fluff. You ever had meat and potatoes? That's all you need, as far as I'm concerned. I know for some of you, you want the greens with it. You want kale. I haven't figured that one out yet, but I love you if you like kale, and that's okay. I don't care for it. Personal preference, but I like the meat and potatoes. Give me the meat. Give me the stuff. That's what I want. And that's what he's saying here. Guys, desire the sincere word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Take what's real. And as he pushes and pushes them to that direction, he says this in verse 32. And now I've committed you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart, called out from the world, and given their own position and place in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've taken his invitation to have a relationship with him, you've confessed your sins, the things you say, act, think, or do that displease God, you've developed and began that relationship that he wants with you, and yeah, it takes little steps. Tiny steps, little bit at a time. And if you've done that, you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You will be in the presence of God for eternity. Your sins are forgiven. They are wiped out. And you stand pure and righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful inheritance that is. That's better than all the money in the world. That's better than all the presents you could get at Christmas. That is everything, because it's all wrapped around Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And also look at that part there that's very, very important, which can build you up. Paul was an encourager. Paul came in and he was an exhorter when he needed to, but he also was an encourager. He built the body up. He's telling the guys here, I'm building you up, guys, to be ready, to be the ambassadors, to be the men of God, to be the leaders in the church there in Ephesus. Go and do this for the glory of God. Why? Because it's going to build you up and your inheritance will be great. And as he proceeds to do that, he recognizes the very valid point that he gives himself away. And everything that Paul did, he gave himself away. He was all in. Everything he did, he was all in. He wasn't partially committed to something. He was all in. And the beauty of that is that's what Christ was too. He's only modeling what Jesus did. You see, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this time of year. We celebrate at Christmas that Jesus came as a baby. But do we realize that Jesus Christ came all in? You see, when he left heaven, he gave all of that up to enter into a sin-stained, filthy world that only did what to him? Rejected him. ignored him, spit upon him, and eventually killed him. But what did he do? He rose again from the grave. He won victory over sin and over death to the glory of God. That was the master plan of the Father. The redemptive work of an eternal God who loves you and I just the way we are. Anybody in here broken? Anybody in here hurting? Anybody in here got pain? Anybody in here have emotional distress? We all do. And Jesus came in the midst of all that to give us that peace, to give us that assurance, to give us His Word. And Paul gave his life away in order that others would know him. I think that picture is so beautiful. So when Paul writes those words that are inspired there, and he says that it was by my kind of hard work that we must have helped the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself spoke, which were these words, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." See, when you give yourself away to Jesus, you're giving yourself to the best person. You're giving yourself to Jesus, and He's going to use you, and He's going to bless you, and He's going to encourage you, and He's going to strengthen you. And yeah, you're still going to have some tough times, but He's going to see you through it. As Carl alluded to, that God's plan and God's timing is the right timing. I mean, Carl's plan was really we would have liked to have gone back August 9th, wouldn't you? You would have missed out, wouldn't you? Well, what? Well, why? Because God's plan is the right plan. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. That's why He says, "My ways are not your way. My thoughts are not your thoughts." And it's a good thing. Because sometimes my thoughts are pretty messed up. And probably sometimes yours are. And sometimes we even shake our fists at God and say, "What are you doing?" And He just brings us back gently and He says, "Let me build you up and encourage you in my word. Let me build you up and encourage you with a body who follow Jesus, who want to do what God wants us to do." And let's dive into the Word. Because you see, Paul knows that there's a lot out there that's going to attack us. If you don't believe me, click on Facebook. Yeah. Click on whatever. And you'll see what's going on. You're going, "Whoa, what's happening?" I'll tell you what's happening. We've gotten away from this. We've gotten away from pouring into the Word of God and finding ourselves absorbed by it. And He says in there the word sanctified, to be set apart, to be called out. It's kind of like when, if you will, envision being if you're a kid in school, or for those of us who are out of school now, remember when you got called out by the principal to go sit in the hallway? If any of you ever have had that happen, that was humiliating. I hated going to the hallway. I hated going to the principal's office, let alone but the hallway, because everybody that walked by knew why you were in the hallway, you know. But I was set apart, not for a good reason, but for a bad reason. But in Jesus, I'm set apart. I'm called out as His, receiving a rich inheritance, not of money and wealth and fame, but of relationship with Jesus Christ. Being His child, child of God. Why? So that I can just hoard it and keep it all to myself? No. So I can do what Paul did, give it all away. Give it all away. You see, when we begin to understand that the walk of a Christian, the faith that Jesus gives to us, and that relationship is about giving it away. It's about telling people about Jesus. It's about doing the very thing that Paul did, was to tell them the gospel message. It's to proclaim the truth of who He is. Because you know as good as I do, that when you find some most incredible recipe in the world, or you find the most incredible thing to clean with, or you find the most incredible electronic gadget, what do you do? What do you do? You tell everybody. You post it on Facebook first, right? And then you tell everybody about it, which is kind of almost the same thing. Yeah, I mean, as long as everybody's your friend, you're okay. But you do. You find something great, you tell everybody about it. Melissa does that. Melissa's great about that. She posts some amazing recipes on her Facebook wall. I love those. I like those. It's kind of my subtle hint, like, "Whoa, I like that." You know, but do you see the point? We tell people. But I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to be bold. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time that Jesus was a part of our conversation? And I mean, we can use the reason, well, I don't speak Deutsch. Okay, so you don't speak Deutsch. God does. He's got it down better than the Germans do. Okay? He can translate. Because you see, if I'm living Jesus in my life, they're going to see Jesus, aren't they? If I'm living Jesus, they're going to see Jesus. If I'm living me, they're going to see me. And they don't need to see me. They need to see Jesus. When's the last time that when you hit an encounter that was tough and difficult, you went, okay, Lord, let's go through this together. And you grab His hand and you walk through it. And you say, okay, God, I can get through this with You. I can take this hard lump, this situation in my life right now, and I can go through it because You're going to go with me. And by the way, take some friends with you and go, hey, would you pray for me? This week, there were several guys in the men's group that were needing prayer. And they just simply shot that, pray. That's all I had to say. I don't need to know the details. I just need to know that you need me to pray. And God can take care of the details. He can iron them out. He can fix them. He can keep them going, whatever He needs to do. But I need to go through it with Him. And I need to know that what He tells me in here, He's going to do. He'll never forget about me. He'll never leave me. But I need to be responsible to tell others about Him. I need to be responsible to be committed to following Jesus. So this week I want to challenge you in a couple areas. First area I want to challenge you is, are you in here? Whether you use a leather bound or you use an electronic, are you in the Word? Because if you and I aren't, we don't have the manual, the right manual. That would be like me grabbing a manual for a Dell computer and trying to figure out my Apple. It ain't going to happen. It's not the right manual. But if I grab the Word of God, as a newsboy say, the Bible, the basic instruction before leaving Earth. If I grab this manual and I take it with me, something's going to happen to me. I guarantee you, it's going to be good. Because this is the right manual. Whether you're 9 or 90, this is the manual to have. All the other manuals and resource books, they're great. They're good. Some of them might be junk. This one, you can count on. So my first challenge to you this week is, are you in here? I'll be honest with you. There's weeks that I'm not in here like I should be. I'll be honest. And I would hope that you would be honest and say, maybe you're not either. Let's do that. Let's commit to that. It's not a New Year's resolution. This is a relationship with Jesus that starts here. Because if I know the author, hey, that's great. Or if I know the Bible, that's great. But I need to know the author. How do I get to know Him? I get to know Him through here. Secondly, are you willing to tell people about Jesus? Are you willing to tell Jesus or people about Jesus? You go, well, I'm not an evangelist. Okay, great, neither am I. That's not my gifting. I have a buddy of mine. His name is Jim. Man, that guy is an evangelist at heart. Whew, he can just, I mean, he's amazing. God has used him in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people's lives. I'm not wired that way. That's okay. He is. God uses him, but God uses me the way I'm wired. Quirky, weird, and all of that included, He uses me. If I'm willing to let Him. So I want to challenge you this week. Ask God. God, would you let me share with somebody about Jesus? You go, well, what do I share? I don't know the steps to peace with God or the Romans Road or the four spiritual laws or I don't know Greek or Hebrew. No, you don't. If you know Jesus, that's all you need to know. He's your best friend. And those kids who've been with me in youth group through the years know that I call him my EBFF, my eternal best friend forever. Why? Because he's with me. Introduce him. Why? Because people need to know him. And my third challenge to you is make sure your relationship, both vertically with God, is good and horizontally is good with others. Because you see, God's going to be working on you. And he's going to do some tweaking. He's going to do some fine-tuning. And he may need to have you deal with some stuff this way with somebody else. You need to be willing, as long as this is right. He'll take care of this. He'll make this situation good. Three challenges for you this week. But start here. Start in the Word. And let the Word lead you to where and how and what He wants you to do. Let's pray. Father, as Paul encountered the men in Ephesus, the elders, as he encountered the people in Macedonia, as he encountered the people wherever he journeyed, he did it. He did it through complete, total, utter surrender to you. Lord, my prayer is that we would become men and women and young people who would be in total, utter surrender to you. It wouldn't be about us and spotlights and direction arrows and all those things on us, but they would be on you. And it would be evident because, Lord, you're doing the work in and through us. Might we be intentional in our relationship with you? Might we be intentional to commit to you even a part of the time that we spend on the internet doing various things? Lord, may we be invested in you so that as savage wolves and this world comes in to try and tear and destroy our families and our lives and our walk and our testimony, we would not be impacted by it, but we would be strong and faithful to you. Father, may we be bold as Paul was to share our gospel message that Jesus loves, that Jesus saves, that Jesus forgives, and Jesus restores to those people we come in contact with. Challenge us, Holy Spirit, this week. Keep us on track, Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us to be men and women who are intentional on building one another up, on edifying the body, on encouraging each other, but on growing in a deeper relationship with you. Father, may anything I've said in error, would you erase it from our minds, our hearts, or anything that's distracted, but may we hear, Holy Spirit, your word to our hearts, to our lives, so that as we go this evening, as we go about our work and business and pleasure this week, we would go and tell others about Jesus, that they might know the Savior, the one who came, the one who gave all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.